Pastor Ray Bentley points out Jesus had some words of observation about the Church of Philadelphia.
Jesus also praised this church for being faithful to his word. They were discipling in the word. They were evangelizing in the word. They were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church not only knew the word and the truth, but they were seeking to live it to the best of their ability. The church had a vision to preach the whole gospel to the whole world.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. It's not a bad idea for a modern church to follow in the ancient footsteps of the Church of Philadelphia. We know Philadelphia means brotherly love, and today Pastor Ray points out the church's love extended to sharing the most important message on earth with those who needed it most. Here's Pastor Ray now to explain.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And this morning I'm going to do a message on the letter to the Church of Philadelphia. So I want to read to you this letter in its entirety. We'll cover the first few verses 7 through 9. And to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works," Jesus says. "See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Each one of the seven letters were written by Jesus, dictated through John, and all seven of them were in the country in your Bible, in the back of your Bible maps, it would be Asia Minor, Turkey. And as we look at these seven letters that Jesus is writing, we come now to the church, the sixth letter of Philadelphia. As you know, Philadelphia means love of the brethren, or it means the city of love. We are called by our Father in heaven to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Now, Jesus introduces himself to this church. As he does to every letter, he always begins with an introduction, some description of himself that pertains to that particular church. What is it about himself that he revealed to the Church of Philadelphia that I think we are living kind of a parallel world and a parallel life and times? "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David." There are three things I want to mention to you that Jesus describes about himself that are to bring comfort in shaky times. And the first thing that he shares is, he that is holy. He says, "I am holy." What do you think of when you think of holiness? The basic idea of holiness is that of being separate or set apart. Jesus, the Messiah, and his holiness therefore signifies that he is separate from all creation. You say, well, okay, what do you mean? What does that mean that he is separate from all creation? It means that Jesus is not a created being. Therefore, he is not to be identified nor confused with the natural world or the natural universe in any way. Therefore, he is completely, totally separate from all evil. And so only the Lord is holy, separate, completely other. Therefore, he brought everything into being that is, and therefore he has all power and he has all authority. Now, Jesus says, I am the holy. Secondly, he says, and I am the true. I put it here as the reality of Jesus. This word true in the Greek has a double meaning. One is, it means real or genuine. Now, the other definition of true is interesting. It means trustworthy or reliable. You can believe everything Jesus says, and every promise he makes, he keeps. He is a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. Amen? And we have a covenant where he made a commitment to us by giving us his son and dying and being crucified for us and buried for us and resurrected for us and then coming into our hearts. He did it all, and we merely received it as a gracious gift of faith. Jesus says, I am holy, I am the true, and thirdly, I have the key of David. Now, I want you to turn with me, hold your finger in Revelation, go with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 22, and I want to read verses 21 and 22. It says, I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. And I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. Now, originally, Isaiah, about 700 years before Christ was born, is making a prophecy. Israel is not following God. They have a guy that's kind of, the administrator in charge of Israel. He's not seeking the Lord. He's living for himself. His name is Shibna. And he's kind of a wolf, really. And he's taking advantage of people. He's probably taking bribes. He's making deals. He's not honoring the Lord. So through the prophet Isaiah, God comes and prophesies and says, hey, you selfish, false shepherd, I'm removing you. I'm taking your robe and taking your authority, taking your belt, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. Who he gave it to is a man named Eliakim, who would be a good shepherd over the people of Israel and honor the Lord and bless him. But in this prophecy, it's not just about Eliakim. The words, as he begins to describe, the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, and so he shall open and no one shut, and shut and no one open, is now Jesus uses that prophecy about himself in the book of Revelation. Isaiah was talking about, in history, Eliakim, but the bigger, brighter, glorious picture was it was fulfilled by the Messiah. And what Jesus is now saying to this church is, I understand that men and the governments and the Caesars of Rome have mistreated you and they've persecuted you and they've hounded you and they've been unfair to you, and I'm going to remove them. And I'm going to take the mantle and the authority to be the good shepherd and to provide for you and to bless you and to lead you and to guide you. I have the keys of David, or the keys to the kingdom. He goes, I can open the doors. And if I need to, and a bad guy is coming or a wolf comes, I know how to shut the door and keep the bad evil away and only open the doors to that which is righteous and holy.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We're so pleased to hear from listeners who tell us they tune in and grow through these daily studies here on Maranatha Radio.
Dear Pastor Ray, I began listening to your radio broadcast a few years ago during my breaks at work. I am now home full-time raising my five-month-old, and I am able to listen more frequently when my son goes down for his naps. I wanted to send along words of encouragement from my husband and myself. Your teaching has enabled my spiritual growth in ways we cannot describe, and I want to express my appreciation and gratitude. God's Word truly makes such a difference. Amazing.
How have these studies in God's Word impacted your life? Would you mind sharing that news with Pastor Ray? Send him an email today at ray@raybentley.com. We'd like to rejoice along with you. Again, write to ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now it's interesting then, fulfilled by Jesus, now quoted by Jesus, because Jesus said something to Peter in the New Testament about the keys of the kingdom. I want you to read this scripture in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Let's read it out loud. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Wow, Jesus, you have the power, you have the authority, you're the fulfillment, the Davidic prophesied Messiah. And now he takes the disciples up to Caesarea Philippi, where there's water that comes out of this gigantic mountainous rock. And he asks the disciples, "Okay, who do the people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Elijah the prophet, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're this, some say you're that." He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "We know who you are. You are the Messiah, the Son of David." Jesus, surprised, is taken aback, and he says, "Peter, do you realize what you just said? Do you realize you've had a divine revelation? You didn't figure that out, Peter." I'm paraphrasing. He says, "The Father, my Father in heaven, opened your eyes. He let you see the truth so that you would know who I am. You've had a divine revelation. Blessed are you, Peter. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, many have mistakenly thought that the whole church would be built on Peter. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. The rock is built on Jesus, or the church is built on Jesus. He's the rock. In fact, that big rock behind them with the water coming out was a beautiful symbolic picture of the Messiah, Jesus. So what did Jesus mean when he said, "You are Peter, and on this rock"? He used two different words. When he said Peter, the word Peter is Petros, and it means a little tiny pebble. You're a little stone, Peter. You might say you're a chip off the old block, but you know me. You are Peter, you're a little stone. But on this Petra, he used a different word. Petra is not Petros. Petra is a gigantic boulder, rock, stone. On this boulder, I will build my church. What then was he talking about? Not the man Peter, but Peter's confession. On that confession that you had a divine revelation, that you see that I'm not just a man who did good things and a good moral teacher, but that I am the prophesied Messiah, the Son of the living God, the holy, eternal other from outside the universe who came into it because I made everything that was there. On that confession, I will build my church from every nation, every language, every kindred, every tribe, Jew or Gentile. I want many sons and many daughters that I might bring into glory. And on that rock, he would build his church. Now to you, Peter, and to those within the church, you have been given by my power and authority, as I sublet it to you, the keys of the kingdom. Whom you bind, you're able to bind. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, do you know what that means? It doesn't mean that the church is hiding, shivering, and afraid in a cave. "Oh, Lord, save us, protect us, the devil's after us." No, it means he is afraid of us. That we go into the highways, into the byways, and he opens doors that the devil tries to shut, and Jesus says, "I'm opening it, you can't shut it." Boom, it's open. We go in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we go to the gates of hell, we pound on the gates of hell, we reach inside the gates of hell, and we pull men, women, boys, and girls out of it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven of your sins, healed, be given eternal life, set free from the chains and the bondage and the afflictions and the addictions and everything else through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ through every continent around the world until the very end of days, until he comes. Amen? Amen. We are not the ones who are to be afraid. The devil is the one who gets afraid. He gets, in fact, in the middle of the whole tribulation period, gets kicked out of heaven and he comes down to the earth. And therefore, the Lord is in and with his church. He goes, I've given you my, I have all power and all authority. Therefore, go make disciples. And the church is moving and it is going and it is growing. I just heard from a man, he's a pastor, about what's happening like in China right now. There are various leaders of the house churches. You know, it was closed to the gospel. They threw the missionaries out, and we thought, oh no, what's going to happen to the church? Will disappear in China? The opposite happened. It began to grow. It began to multiply. It started as a trickle. It turned into a stream. The stream turned into a river. The river turned into a flood. And now today they say, we don't even know the numbers. We don't know how to tell you. The best, most conservative estimate is that 50,000 men, women, boys, and girls every single day in China are coming into the kingdom of heaven. Every single day. We are living in exciting times. And I would say this, for all the exciting things that are going on in the world right now, I believe that we are literally on the edge right now of moving forward the rest of this decade, that what we will see the rest of this decade will surpass anything we've seen up until now. The greatest harvest in the history of the human race, the Bible says, is reserved for the end. We have the privilege of literally not only watching the harvest, but being in the harvest fields. Jesus said the harvest is so plenteous. He goes, the laborers are few. There's so many people coming to the Lord. We need more people to do it. And you don't have to go to China or Africa or Asia or Latin America to be in the harvest fields. The harvest fields are right here in San Diego, California. It's your neighbors, your family, your loved ones. Many of them are going to come to the Lord in this next decade. Amen? So let's join that harvest. Nothing can shut the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Let's read this. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, verse 8. Go back to Revelation. Verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8. He says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. This church is commended by Jesus. And guess what? This is very cool. There are only two letters, there are only two churches Jesus had no rebukes for. The one was the church of Smyrna, that was the persecuted church getting, you know, fed to the lions by the Romans for 200 years and all of that. The second church, Jesus says, I don't have a rebuke for you, is the church of Philadelphia. Now, Jesus commends this church. He has no rebuke, but he commends them for three things. Number one, he says, you have a little strength. As I put it, you have a little power with big potential. In other words, what does it mean, little strength? Does it mean they were little weak Christians? No, they were strong, but they had little strength in that they weren't the majority of the population of Philadelphia. They were not the majority, but Jesus said, that's okay. You don't need to be the majority population to have a huge impact. You have a big potential. She might have been small potatoes in the eyes of the world, but she was huge in the sight of the Lord. Jesus saw that his strength could penetrate this city through his presence within this church. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 is a great encouragement to those who feel weak. Let's read it out loud. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen? And then faithful to my word. Jesus also praised this church for being faithful to his word. They taught the word. They loved the word. They were discipling in the word. They were evangelizing in the word. They were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church not only knew the word and the truth, but they were seeking to live it to the best of their ability. And then finally, it was a church with a good reputation. He says, you have not denied my name. In other words, you didn't cave under the pressure. And what was the pressure? The pressure was, listen very carefully, it wasn't that Rome said you can't be Christians at that point. It wasn't even that you can't believe in Jesus. They didn't care to the Romans, another god, another goddess, fine. We just don't like it that you say Jesus is the only Lord. He's the only Messiah. He's the one and only way, life, and truth. If you could just let it be that they're all equal, we all end up at the same place, then you fit right in with Roman and Greek culture and society. But it was when they said no, for there is salvation in no other. Read with me Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Let's read it out loud. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That was Peter preaching. There's no other name, guys, than the name of Jesus. Say the name Jesus. Jesus. It's awesome. It's his name that has power. He's the only one, the Holy One, the Lord, the Savior, the risen, resurrected, and soon coming King. And then this church is rewarded. Because of this church's faithfulness to these things, that you have been faithful, you have not denied my name, you've kept my word, you have a little strength, I reward you with an open door. It is truly an open door with great opportunity for ministry in the whole world. And then in verse 9, we'll end here, but basically, the persecution of the false church against the true church is always going to be a danger. They're always going to be fighting. We'll find this later at the end of Revelation in chapters 17 and 18. There's the church that is unfaithful, and then there is the church that is faithful, and they are fighting and they are at war with one another, even in the end days. So be faithful and loyal to Christ and to his word. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with great insight and encouragement from our studies in Revelation, and specifically the Lord's Council to the Church at Philadelphia. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention Church of the Open Door. We'll be happy to send it your way for a gift of any amount. Again, it's called Church of the Open Door. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, there are a lot of novels available these days, so many gripping stories, but very few offer an opportunity to not only enjoy a good story, but also to learn something about God's Word, specifically Bible prophecy. But your new novel, called On the Mountain of the Lord, does just that, doesn't it?
It does, and that is what is so exciting. I've got this tremendously gifted pair of writers, Bodie and Brock Taney, who for decades have been writing about the history of Israel, the modern rebirth of Israel, even the first century church and all of that. But I met them supernaturally. I think God brought us together, and I have some thoughts and ideas, prophetic understanding of what is happening right now. The 70th anniversary of Israel, the rebirth of Jerusalem being made the capital by the United States of America, bringing our embassy from Tel Aviv, now bringing it publicly before the eyes of the whole world to the city of Jerusalem. And man, it is put Jerusalem on the map of the whole world. Everybody is stirred up about it. And what does it mean? What does the Bible say about it? So I get to use this tremendously thrilling, exciting adventure story with this character, Jack Garrison, and take him on a journey that everybody gets to go along with this guy, Jack, and learn what's happening, what God is doing, the kingdom that's coming, and the return and the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm so excited, I can't wait for people to read it.
Yeah, and we'll be glad to send a copy right out to you. Again, this new novel is called On the Mountain of the Lord. And we'll send it to you to thank you for your donation of any amount. You choose the size, but please remember that it's your generosity that allows us to keep coming your way each day with Pastor Ray's teaching. So send your donation today to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Revelation. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.